Okay, thank you for that introduction. Hello.
Okay. So I'm going to talk to you about my research study on practice patterns around vasectomy among family PAC providers. And I came to this topic during my family planning fellowship, where I sort of realized that there really wasn't a lot of talk about male-controlled methods. And part of that is probably because there just aren't that many out there. And vasectomy, unfortunately, is really the only one that's highly efficacious. So I really wanted to look at why isn't vasectomy used more, but particularly what is the provider's role in vasectomy use. I want to thank my research team as well as the Office of Family Planning here in California that supported our research. So as I stated, vasectomy is the only highly efficacious male-controlled method, and its failure rate during the first year is very low, 0.15%. Compared to female sterilization, they have similar efficacy, but there are some advantages to vasectomy. Tubal ligation does have more complications. It's typically done in the operating room versus vasectomy, which is done in an outpatient clinic. And then tubal ligation costs about three times as much as female sterilization. Sorry, tubal ligation costs three times as much as vasectomy. So despite these advantages, we don't really know why vasectomy is not very utilized in the United States. Sterilization, when you combine the two methods, male and female sterilization, is the most common form of birth control in the United States, at about 23% of women relying on that for birth control. But the difference between the two methods is quite large, with 17% of women relying on female sterilization and only 6% relying on male sterilization. Furthermore, we know that men who choose vasectomy are a fairly homogeneous group. They're mostly non-Hispanic white men that are well-educated, married, have high economic status, and access to insurance. So looking for reasons why vasectomy is not utilized, there are many reasons, and this is not a comprehensive list at all, but I wanted to just sort of address system-level barriers, such as just financial or logistical barriers for patients, as well as provider-level barriers, such as attitudes and knowledge, and then just the complicated list of patient-level factors that contribute to how a man or woman or couple will decide what kind of birth control they're going to use. For the purposes of this study, we're really focusing on the provider-level characteristics and, in particular, attitudes and knowledge. So we wanted to design a study to describe what clinician knowledge and attitudes were regarding vasectomy, and we wanted to look at the relationship between different provider characteristics and their vasectomy practice, as well as the relationship between clinician attitudes and knowledge with vasectomy practice. So we put together a cross-sectional survey of all eligible family PAC sites. And as some background for Family PAC, it is a California state-funded program that provides comprehensive family planning services to low-income men and women. We defined an eligible site as any clinic, family PAC clinic, that's served at least one male contraceptive patient in the fiscal year 2007-2008. We sent out surveys to all these clinics, and then we asked the clinician who saw the most men to respond to our survey. And our survey questions included general knowledge about vasectomy, attitudes around sterilization and vasectomy in particular, and then their practices around vasectomy referral and how often they counsel on vasectomy. We sent out 1,467 surveys, and we got 863 respondents for a 59% response rate. About half of our responders were women, and most responders were white physicians in private practice. We compared clinic sites that responded to our survey versus clinic sites that didn't respond to our survey, and we didn't find any difference in terms of their clientele. In other words, no differences in the number of clients these clinics served, no difference in the racial distribution of the clients they served, and no difference in the percentage of their patients that spoke Spanish. So looking at clinician knowledge, most of our respondents agreed that vasectomy was an effective method, was safe, and also cost-effective. A small but significant minority of respondents supported false statements, such as vasectomy commonly causes regret, or vasectomy causes negatively affects sexual performance. 5% endorse that vasectomy increases risk of prostate cancer. 5% also endorse that vasectomy commonly causes chronic pain. And 3% agreed that vasectomy increases risk of dementia. Regarding clinician attitudes, most of the respondents did feel comfortable providing services to men. 80% of our respondents agreed that contraception is more important to a woman because she can get pregnant. And then the majority of our respondents also agreed that vasectomy is not commonly accepted among minority men and not commonly accepted among low-income men. 35% of our respondents agreed with the statement that female sterilization is preferable to male sterilization for a heterosexual couple that wants no more children. And I'm just highlighting this statement because we use this as our metric for clinician attitude in the multivariate analysis. So to look at the relationship between provider characteristics and vasectomy practice, we did a multivariate analysis based on variables that were shown in the literature to be or hypothesized to be associated with vasectomy provision. So we took some demographic predictor variables like gender, age, race, practice type, professional title, and specialty. We also included some variables around their clinic, such as the number of male clients seen, whether or not the practice offered vasectomy, and whether that clinician themselves did vasectomy. For clinician knowledge, we created a summary score of the survey items that I described two slides ago, and it was a scale on 1 to 5, and basically the higher the score, the more knowledge they had about vasectomy, the lower the score, the less knowledge they had. For clinician attitude, we used the highlighted statement from the previous slide that female sterilization is preferable to male sterilization for a heterosexual couple that wants no more children, and we dichotomized those responses into those who agree and those who disagree with that statement. And then finally, our practice outcome was also a summary score of 4 survey items, and the items were as follows. 1, how many men or women have you counseled on vasectomy? 2, for patients desiring permanent contraception, how often do you counsel on vasectomy? 3, if you do vasectomy, how many have you done in the last year? And 4, if you do not do vasectomy, how many patients have you referred for vasectomy in the last year? So this is a fully adjusted model, but not all of the variables are listed. I took some of them out for simplicity. But there was no significant difference in the respondents in the vasectomy practice for based on patients on providers' age, gender, professional title, or specialty. We did have some small differences. Black and Asian providers were associated with lower vasectomy practice scores, and providers working at a Planned Parenthood had slightly higher vasectomy practice scores. So looking at these variables, these were all significantly associated. So providers who worked at a practice that offered vasectomy were associated with higher vasectomy scores. Providers who did vasectomy were also associated with higher vasectomy scores. And providers with higher knowledge scores and attitude scores were also had higher vasectomy practice scores. And these are our two, you know, really strongest association with higher vasectomy outcomes. So there are some limitations to our study. It was a cross-sectional survey study, and so we can't really speak to causality. We can really only talk about association. And then our survey was not a validated survey. We did base it on a previous study done by Engender Health, designed to look at both providers' and administrators' knowledge about vasectomy. For the survey items that we did combine, we did make sure that their Cronbach alpha was greater than 0.7. But our study does have suggest some conclusions, and one of them is really that our strongest association with higher practice outcomes with clinician attitudes. And so improving clinician attitude may be particularly important in increasing vasectomy awareness and provision. And clearly that's a multifaceted, complicated process, but I think also there are some suggested ways our study shows that we can do that, and one of them is to increase practices actually offering vasectomy. Previous family-packed studies have shown actually that clinics often stopped doing vasectomy referrals because they didn't know who to refer them to, and also clinicians reported that as a barrier to their counseling on vasectomy because they didn't know who to send them to. And that sort of leads into just increasing vasectomy providers. The Engender Health Survey I mentioned before showed that clinicians counsel on the procedures that they do. So increasing vasectomy providers themselves may sort of address some of these awareness and education issues. And finally, addressing gaps in clinician education. Overall, the knowledge was pretty good, but there were some gaps in vasectomy knowledge, and clinicians were endorsing some myths around vasectomy. And we know from different studies on contraceptive use, particularly around IUD and implant, that the more a clinician knows about a particular method, the more likely they are to recommend or counsel on that method. My contact information. Any questions?
I know you said that that female sterilization costs a lot more, but I'm curious how the two different procedures are handled under health insurance policies, and what's the coverage like, and is that a barrier to?
So I think it depends on by state, but here Family Pact will actually cover either method, so it would be no cost for either one. And the three times as much cost for tubal ligation compared to vasectomy is based on sort of the cost to the hospital and all that, not necessarily cost to patient.
Right, I was just wondering if that might be a barrier for patients.
Right, I think certainly in different states that is a huge barrier, and probably even in California, even though it is covered, patients might not know that.
I was going to ask a similar question because your abstract, mm-hmm. here said that the barrier was poor reimbursement. Did you change your mind about that, or were you suggest something else?
No, there's sort of, when I wrote the abstract, it was sort of doing a different piece of this study, so I kind of took that part out to simplify what we had to talk about in 10 minutes. But that is from a Family Pact survey that looked at why some clinics had stopped providing vasectomy, and many of the clinicians stated that poor reimbursement for that was one of the reasons.
So it was covered, but they didn't get the money back faster.
Right, and there was also an issue of filling out the sterilization forms correctly, and if they were not filled out exactly right, they weren't getting the reimbursement that they should have gotten, so that was a barrier.
Hmm. When you talk about training vasectomy providers, can you just give me a sense of what level of qualification you need and what training? You don't have to be a urologist to do that.
Right, so that's also something that varies greatly by the region of the United States you're in. In the West Coast, still most vasectomies are done by urologists, but something about 30% are done by general surgeons, and then maybe 10 to 20% are done by family medicine physicians. When you get to the East Coast, there's a larger percentage that are done by urologists. But certainly, there have been models actually where physician's assistants have gotten trained in vasectomy and nurse practitioners as well, so it's not strictly for MDs, but that is the majority of them.
Well, what about the increased risk of dementia?
Right, so that that piece of the survey actually came out of a New York Times article in 2009. There was a very small study that said that vasectomy increased risk of dementia, but basically they just had a very small survey. I think it was only like 35 people, and just in terms of the age of that you would get a vasectomy also, and then the older age of those getting dementia are correlated. So I included that in our survey just because it was sort of coming up in physician circles, and New York Times is very well read. So,
any more questions?
Yeah. Yeah, so that I think is really important. That's why I had this slide in terms of what are patients role in all of this, and we are concurrently actually doing a qualitative study on with patients and why they do or do not consider vasectomy once they're finished having children. And certainly the idea of loss of manhood is something that really has come up, and we're specifically looking at whites, blacks, and Latinos. That's a theme that has come up across all race, but one of the things that we've found out that is really only coming up among black and Latino groups is sort of this lack of social support around vasectomy. And if you look at vasectomy use in the United States, there's a lower amount, a percentage of blacks and Latinos that are utilizing vasectomy. So it's sort of like, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? There's a low number of people utilizing it, so there's sort of a lower awareness of it, so then they're not really talking about it so much. But that's something I think that definitely should be addressed, and when looking at how vasectomy is or is not being used, really should consider all of these different players.
I think from my understanding, in a perhaps a simplistic way, that there is always that degree of, if I've finished my family and now I get divorced and have a new partner, it's a different question for a woman who's 50 to have a new set of children, whereas mm-hmm. the man is even 60, he may consider that's something, you know, I don't know whether people go through that, but that's another issue perhaps. There's a little difference in the whether that fertility is ever going to disappear, particularly the fact that we have such a range of second, third marriages and whatever. That's just my two kind of.
And I just want to add that was the permanence of vasectomy was also brought up in our focus groups and stuff as well, among all race and ethnic groups that we were looking at.
I think it was Paul McCartney recently, I read the last, no, somebody else, some other aging rock star was talking and he's interviewing, and he had some young child. I thought, this man must be 70. Anyway, he must be in love for punishment, right? Anyway, that's just my warped attitude. Anybody else with another question? Otherwise, I'd like to thank you all, presenters and audience, and good afternoon.